Two Love Affairs. Bob and I fell in love, first with each other, and then with France. In both cases, it was love at first sight, but there was quite a long time between the sightings. I cannot recall precisely when I fell in love with history, but I do know exactly when I fell in love with Bob. I was, in fact, 16 when I saw him for the first time. I was at a mixer at Princeton with my best friend from Trenton High when I saw him across the room. Even with his crew cut, I thought he was the handsomest boy I had ever seen. The moment I saw him, I turned to my friend standing next to me and said, "That's the boy I'm going to marry." On our honeymoon, 3 years later, we drove all across America. Since Bob did not do quite as well at blackjack in Las Vegas as he was sure he would, my father had to come and bail us out at the Pennsylvania Turnpike toll booth when we returned from our 2-month journey. Our trip across country had been so much fun that we planned to take the same type of trip in France as soon as we had saved enough money. It would be, however, many years later before our love affair with France began. First, there was a baby, and then there was a book. A book that Bob had quit his job as a reporter at Newsday to write. The book would turn out to be The Power Broker, and many things were to happen with it of which we have always been proud. But at the time he was working on it, no one seemed particularly interested in it, and Bob was writing it for what we called the world's smallest advance. We said that with a laugh for a while, but as time passed, it wasn't so funny. Bob had thought it would take him 9 months to finish. He simply couldn't imagine anything taking him more than 9 months to write. But it actually took 7 years, and we were broke for most of those years. Totally broke. After the first year, we had to sell our little house on Long Island and move to an apartment in the Bronx, leaving our piano and beloved pool table behind. It had been a long time since I had been able to look either my butcher or my dry cleaner in the eye when The New Yorker, much to Bob's amazement, bought an excerpt from the book for enough money for me to pay my bills and for Bob and me to finally take our trip to France. We took the check, paid the butcher and dry cleaner, and left for France the next day. We didn't even stop to make a hotel reservation. Bob asked the flight attendant where to stay in Paris, and she suggested a little hotel on the Rue Saint-Hyacinthe. It was 1974, and you could do that then, not make reservations in France. The hotel was in a great location, but old and small. I remember that the concierge couldn't get the air conditioning to work, nor could she grasp the concept of the collect call on the telephone. She also scrubbed everything with Clorox, including the sidewalk in front of the hotel. We thought it was just the grandest place in the world. After a week in Paris, we rented a car and began driving through countrysides more glorious than anything we had ever imagined. So glorious, in fact, was that maiden trip that year after year we returned to France, stayed a few nights in a hotel in Paris, and then spent a month or two driving around a different section of the country.